Oh, yeah, it's good to get into the Word of God with you. The mighty Word of God. A couple of weeks ago, the Lord put on my heart a new series called The Spirit Man. Getting in touch with your spirit. See, because you're bigger on the inside. You're much bigger on the inside than you ever would be on the outside. And we are in a new era. The prophetic word has been spoken many times, and you'll hear more. It's not just a new season, it's a new era. We're a gate in the church is closing, and a new gate is opening. A whole new dimension of what God will do to reach this lost generation. And I believe one of the things that this new era will be known by is an increase in our spirit's reality in everything we do. See, we're so aware of our flesh and we're so aware of our soul, but we don't seem to be aware enough that we are a spirit with a soul that lives forever. And the spirit, our spirit man, is key, because here's the truth. You cannot be led by the spirit if your spirit does not lead you. We try to get led by the spirit, and having the Holy Spirit lead our flesh doesn't work. We try to be led by the spirit and let the Holy Spirit lead our soul doesn't work. Because of free will, our spirit must engage. And that's where the Holy Spirit works. And so I'm going to continue to press in deeper and deeper and teach what the Bible says about our spirit and how Holy Spirit interacts with the spirit and all that happens. Now, 2 weeks ago, I started this new series with the very first point, the first step in the spirit man, which is having a greater awareness of our spirit. See, if you're not aware that of your spirit, you certainly cannot let your spirit take the lead in your life. And to be aware, I ask the question to each of us, what am I? And so let me ask you, what are you? You are a spirit with a soul. Happens to have flesh. That's what you are. That's what I am. Well, today, let's continue. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, verse 12 to verse 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 to verse 16. And by the way, there's a lot of good translations of the Bible, and we use them. We cross-reference. Today, I'm going to read from the New King James. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 to verse 16. Let's pray as we open God's word. Holy Spirit, you, person of the Holy Spirit, are here. You are among us. You are God, the Spirit. And so we ask you, Holy Spirit, to ignite our spirit tonight, to press in our spirit tonight, that we may break through in all the areas of our life, that we may not miss you in all the ways you're moving on the earth. So give us the revelation that we need this night in Jesus' name. Amen. Follow along as I read. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Amen. Why is it that so many of the mighty moves of God are missed by most of the church? When you look through church history of the mighty revivals, there was a section of the church that walked in revival, but there were so many parts of the church that never got it. In my generation, the Jesus People movement was such a move, a mighty, powerful move of God, that where I went to church, never heard of it, never heard of the players in it, Never heard of the Holy Spirit in it. In fact, we completely were separated from the very thing God was doing that birthed a fire of revival that was to spread through the state. It was God's anointing. It was God's move to keep the state of California safe and from California to move across the country. But so much of the church missed it. Why? We're all born of the Spirit. We're all in the Word. Why did so many miss it? See, this text teaches us something very powerfully. It is a text that is taught often to not live according to the flesh apart from Christ, but live according to the Spirit. And it is taught often on how we're to live our physical life. But loved ones, this is also to teach us how to live our spiritual life. And it's not taught that way. These are the ways that you live your physical life out. This is the way you live your life, to be light. But in you, you have a spirit. And it is that spirit, it is called to discern the things of the Spirit, not your flesh, not your mind. And the only way to make lasting progress is found in the anchor of this text in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. It is to let the Spirit himself bear witness to our spirit. We're so fangled in the church. See, the Holy Spirit bears witness to your spirit, not your mind, not your emotions, and not your experience of how God moves. The Holy Spirit bears witness himself with our spirit. And if your spirit is not engaged, you will miss it. Everything God does, is doing, can do, we must maintain the discipline of letting Holy Spirit bear witness with our spirit. God is moving on the earth. The Holy Spirit is moving on the earth. The question is, are we moving with him? Insanity is doing the same thing in the church and expecting a different result. Well, this country is literally going to hell. In the last 40 years, the number of people that confess to be Christians has dropped significantly, from close to 90% to 65%. In the last 40 years, the number of people in this country, 40 years ago, about 3% declared they were atheists. Now it's over 26%. And insanity is doing the same thing in the church and expecting a different result. Just got to do more of the same, brother. But Jesus said these words. He said, I only do what I see my Father doing, present tense. Not what I think I should do, but what I see my Father doing. What is the Father doing on the earth? See, the only way you can see it is if you let the Holy Spirit bear witness with your spirit. Something happened in the church, I am convinced, that separated the spirit and the truth, that allowed a legal right for the enemy to separate it, that allowed a plague to come into the church. That we think we're spirit and truth when we're really about the Word, or we think we're spirit and truth when we're really about the Spirit. It happened some 40 years ago when you look at our recent church history. A mighty move of God was birthed in the late 60s. Early 60s to late 60s, it birthed and it just started a fire that became the Jesus People movement. A fire of revival began. There were players that were right in the middle of it. There was a pastor called Chuck. Pastor Chuck that was right in the center of it. There was a prophet called Lonnie. Mighty move of God that swept Southern California like it had never been swept in recent time. Signs and wonders and miracles. Millions got saved in a two-year period. Millions. Without a crusade, without a stadium event, just a fire of God. But something happened. Something happened as the fire was spread. The prophet went overseas and the fire just grew. And as the fire grew, Lonnie went overseas and the fire grew of revival. And it swept through South Africa and it swept through parts of Africa and Europe. He came back even more on fire, doing what God was doing. And he came back and he went to another pastor's church, Pastor John. Was a young man in a church. And it was Mother's Day, 1980, and the fire of God broke out like it never had. God was on the move in ways that no one had ever experienced or witnessed in our generation. Signs, wonders, miracles, miraculous things. Fire of God, just people were falling out in the Spirit, were shaking under the power and the influence of the Holy Spirit. We're speaking in new tongues. People were getting healed. People were crying out in joy, laughing, uncontrollable joy, crying for hours, on the ground for days. And this Pastor John, when he saw it, he had never experienced it before. He had not seen this before. But he couldn't help but think, is this you, God? Is this you, God? So he stayed up all night praying and going over the scriptures. Is this you, God? Is this you that did this? Because I've never witnessed anything like this before. I had no lens for it. I had no background for it. And he cried out to God, God, if this is you, give me a sign. And then he remembered his history of church revivals. And in that church history of revivals, he looked at some of the greats on the earth. George Whitefield. The Wesley brothers. And so many others. And the same exact thing happened in each one of those revivals. They wrote of these encounters that were just beyond compare. Same kinds of things. And then at 5:30 in the morning, another pastor of that movement called and said, hey, John, I don't know why I was supposed to call you. I just couldn't sleep. I don't know if this is going to mean anything to you, but God says, yes, this is me. So he let it happen, and a year later, these two giants of the faith collided. Because what was happening did not have a gauge in the natural. It didn't fit the experience of the founding pastor of this movement. There were a lot of people that were not comfortable with the move of God and the Spirit of God moving. And so one day he called all the churches of his movement that were in the center of the birthing of this. And he said something very profound. He said, I'm drawing a line in the sand. Anyone that wants solid Bible teaching and church planning, come with me. Anyone that wants the sign gifts of the Holy Spirit and worship, go with John. And you have to decide today. And so, weeping, they took sides. And a new move of God was birthed called the Vineyard. But what happened on that day was that general of the faith unwittingly gave a legal right to the enemy to let the spirit of religion come in so that those churches that operated in the sign gifts of the Holy Spirit, the idea, the thought is, well, yeah, but they're not as biblical. And those churches that were steeped in the Word of God, well, yeah, but they're not as spiritual. And this thing just grew towards now a plague in the church. That if you operate fully in the sign gifts, you obviously can't be as biblical as one that operates fully in the Bible. Spirit and truth was separated. And neither of them realized the separation. And today is the result, I believe, of the lie that if you operate in the sign gifts, you leave behind in-depth teaching. If you operate in in-depth teaching, you don't have much need for the sign gifts of the Holy Spirit. Believers stopped engaging and letting the Holy Spirit himself bear witness. Loved ones, God is moving again on the earth. The Spirit is moving. The question is, will we move where the Spirit moves or will we not? Well, here at Embrace, we will move where the Spirit moves. We will not let it pass us. We have a strong emphasis on the Word and the Spirit. We're anchored in the Word of God. I do a discipleship training right now, going through foundations. Midweek, Pastor John is going through an in-depth with his son Michael, going through an in-depth study of God's Word. We are anchored in God's Word, but we love the Holy Spirit. We're fully biblical, and we're Spirit-sensitive, Spirit-led to fully influence the culture around us. But loved ones, the only way to ensure that we do not miss a move of God is we must let the Holy Spirit bear witness to our spirit. I'm going to teach you, I'm going to spend the rest of my time teaching you biblically from this text how to let the Holy Spirit bear witness with us. Because here's the thing. Holy Spirit is not a gentleman. He's a mighty rushing wind. And when he goes, he rushes through a place. And the fire of God, you're baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Things happen that are unexplainable. Things happen that you don't have a box for. And we have to stop rejecting flat out before we let the Holy Spirit bear witness. We have to let the Holy Spirit bear witness. So here's the thing, for the Holy Spirit to bear witness, he bears witness when we let our spirit lead us. Romans 8, 14 and 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. How are you led by the Spirit of God? Verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's how we're led. The Bible tells us, each of us that become children of God, that we must let our spirit lead us. That is our right. That is our privilege, that is our responsibility as children of God. But the problem is, we don't. The word to bear witness is to testify unto. It's a joint testimony. It's our spirit is to bear witness with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. It's a testimony of what's from God. That's where it happens. Whatever God is doing on the earth, however he does it, Holy Spirit will testify to your spirit if it's from God. He will not testify to your mind. He will not testify to your emotions. He will not testify to your experience. When God moves new on the earth, the only place you'll find the testimony is with your spirit. Yeah, but I got to engage my mind. Listen, yes. But our mind can only bear witness to what God has done. That's all it can bear witness to, what God's already done. I can bear witness to that. I remember that. Our emotions can only bear witness to what we have felt from God, what he's done to us and what he's done in us. And our experience can only bear witness to what we've witnessed ourselves. But if something so supernatural happens, and we let our mind, our will, and our emotions lead us, we'll miss it. See, We got to let our spirit lead us to Holy Spirit. John 3, Jesus teaches the principle in the first revival as Messiah. In John chapter 3, this was the first revival. This was the Messiah revival. This was to be set the stage for what God would do in the future. And a religious leader, Nicodemus, comes up to Jesus and listen to what he says in John 3:3 in the Passion Translation. The richness of this is so accurately represents. He says to Nicodemus, listen to this eternal truth. Before a person can perceive God's kingdom realm, they must first experience a rebirth. Before a person can perceive God's kingdom realm, they must first experience a rebirth. See, the only place you can perceive the kingdom realm is with your spirit, born again, tied to Holy Spirit. That's it. That's the anchor point from which all other things happen. You must first let your spirit lead you. When you encounter something new of God, not your flesh. And then the Spirit bears witness when we test the Spirit. See, here's the problem. We don't test the spirits. We test our experience. Oh, I haven't experienced that. Can't be from God. But God says, test the spirits. Now listen to these Roman verses. Because here's what happens is we disregard what Paul says when it comes to spiritual matters. We regard it when it comes to physical matters of how we are to live and conduct our physical life. Well, we just kind of throw this out when it comes to how we are to manage our spiritual life. Now, listen again. Therefore, verse 12, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. Why do we engage our flesh when God moves new on the earth? It's like, whoa, all this stuff that's happening, I don't bear witness in my flesh. That's what we do. But he says, we're not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. The word to live implies all of you. The word to live, it implies the 1 Thessalonians 5:23 you. Spirit, soul, and body. So if I were to read this again, therefore, brothers, we are not debted to the flesh, to spirit, soul, and body. To live, spirit, soul, and body, according to the flesh. For if you live, spirit, soul, and body, according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live, spirit, soul, and body. God says this. He says, my ways are not your ways. They're not. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Now, what are God's ways? God's ways are his application of his word. So, another way to say it is, my application of my word is not your application of my word. Why do we think it is? When something supernatural breaks out that we've never seen, we can't understand, we can't put a finger on it, it looks weird, it looks odd, it looks awkward, it doesn't make any sense. You read about it in church history, but God forbid it happens now. God is saying, listen, you cannot begin to comprehend on your own, apart from Holy Spirit, what I am going to do and how I'm going to do it. So if you're applying your application of the word and how I will break through, you'll miss it. Might be a good application, but it's not the whole thing. And this is the plague in the church. The religious spirit has infected the church with a plague, and it looks like this. When God moves in a way you've never experienced, the plague is reject first, ask questions later. Wow. That's not the way it was in the Bible. That was not the way it was in the first century. That's not what Paul taught. 1 John 4, beloveds, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. It said, don't test your experience of the Spirit. Test the spirits themselves. Don't test your experience of the Spirit. Test the spirits itself. to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Yes, there are many false prophets that have gone out in the world. But this you will know, the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Listen, you read the stories of revivals all the way back through church history. And these incredible, unusual manifestations of God happened. And so much of the church rejected it because they didn't test the spirits, they tested their experience. But the few that said, "Is this you, God?" And what came out of the mouth of those involved, they confessed Jesus Christ came in the flesh from God. He is Lord. Showed them this was a move of God. And the Spirit will bear witness when we test the Spirit. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will bear witness when we let our Spirit lead us. And then the Spirit, Holy Spirit, will bear witness when we test the spirits. That's how it works. But look, here is the problem. The Spirit then bears witness when we look at the fruit. We don't look at the fruit. We don't look at the fruit. Romans 8:15, this is why. It says, "You did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." See, the last resort for the religious spirit to get you to become afraid is to get you to become uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable, therefore I should fear. I'm in a house of God. They love Jesus with all their heart, but what they're doing, I'm uncomfortable, therefore I got to be a little afraid because I'm not comfortable. Fear will keep you from fruit. Fear will keep you from fruit. There's this whole bowl of fruit of the mighty Holy Spirit, and if you're afraid of what you're seeing God doing, maybe it's not God, maybe it is God, I don't know. I'm uncomfortable, therefore I'll be afraid. I can't see the fruit. I won't look at the fruit. I won't judge the fruit. I'll look for anything about what's happening that's not of God. I'll say, "See there, the whole thing's bad. Whole thing's bad. Some person operated in the flesh, therefore the whole thing's bad. It can't be good." But hundreds of thousands get saved. Millions get saved. Walking in the power and the love of God. But the thing was bad because there was this bad apple here and that bad apple there. Fear will keep you from the good fruit of the Lord. All you'll see if you're afraid is the rotten apple. And you miss it. You miss the move of God. You miss what he's doing, but he did not give you a spirit of fear to bondage again. He gave you a spirit of adoption. When you cry out, "Abba, Father," look at the fruit. The Bible says you will know them by their fruit. When the Spirit of truth, when the Holy Spirit and the truth come together, they become the Spirit of truth. And so much of the church, it's not the Spirit of truth. It's the truth, and it's the Spirit. And fear keeps them apart. Fear of the unknown, fear of what I've not experienced before, fear of what might happen, fear of, this isn't what you do in church. Like when Kyle just goes off into a riff, wait a second, what's going to happen now? Well, that's not what you do in church. I'm just not comfortable with that. But what if in the middle of a service someone manifested a spirit that needed to be dealt with? Would we be afraid? I hope not. What if someone laughed uncontrollably? Yeah, but where does the Bible say that people laughed uncontrollably? Psalm 126. What if somebody weeps for hours? What if someone lays under the influence of Holy Spirit? What if God does something else that he chooses to do and the Spirit breaks out in this place? Because I believe it is breaking out, and it will break out in ways we've never seen before. We don't know all, because eye has not seen, God says, or ear heard all that the God has. But if he is going to reach this generation, if he's going to break through the stubble of religion once again, he's got to move in new ways. Man, how we grieve the Holy Spirit. We get on this hamster wheel. Just keep doing the same thing. Keep doing the same thing. Keep doing the same thing. Oh, we got to do more of the same thing. We're not doing enough of this. We're not doing enough of that. And the world's going to hell. This country's going to hell. Because we've stopped letting the Holy Spirit bear witness to our spirit. We've stopped that process. We stopped it. We only do it when it's convenient, when it's comfortable, when we're in a good place, when the world fits our reality, our theology, our way church is done. We only do it when everything is cool, so we don't have to worry if a guest leaves because this is too crazy or wild. But all of the Bible matters. All of it. Everything he said to do. Nicodemus came to Jesus, the religious theologian of the time. They all thought they had it right. They all thought they knew exactly what was to happen. And Jesus comes on the scene, and all these religious leaders saying, "You're the devil." But then something happened to one of them. And it wasn't because he was such an eloquent orator. It wasn't that he stumped their religious leaders with his ability to speak the word of God. Even though he was God, that didn't convince them. Listen, the word himself confronted this spirit, the word himself, and he spoke the word, and they still did not believe in him. The word himself. Why do we think that's... Keep giving him the word alone, and that'll do it. When it didn't do it in the time of Jesus with those that knew the word better than anyone. But what did it? What broke through so that they could hear the word? Nicodemus. John chapter 3. I mean, it's so clear. It was so clear. It was like, okay, this is a game changer. There was a prominent religious leader among the Jews named Nicodemus who was part of a sect called the Pharisees and a member of the Jewish ruling class. One night, he discreetly came to Jesus and said this, "Listen, Master, we know that you are a teacher from God, for, listen, no one performs the miracle signs that you do unless God's power is with them." That's what did it. That's what got him there. Hello? That's what did it. The word absent the spirit is just religion. It's not God. And Jesus answered, "Nicodemus, listen to this eternal truth." Now he could give him the word. Now he'll receive the word. Why? Because he witnessed his power. He witnessed the miraculous signs, miracles of God. He witnessed a power that was a game changer, that separated the men from the boys from every other religion to the true religion. He witnessed a move of God that said, okay, that's only God. So now Nicodemus saying, because now I see something I have not seen, I'm ready to listen to your words, Jesus. I'm ready to listen to your words. And Jesus answered, "Nicodemus, listen to this eternal truth. Before a person can perceive God's kingdom realm, they must first experience a rebirth." Wow. Jesus said, "I speak an eternal truth. Unless you are born of water and the spirit wind, you will never enter the kingdom, God's kingdom realm." You'll never enter it. You shouldn't be amazed by my statement. You must be born from above, for the spirit wind blows as it chooses. It blows as it chooses. The spirit wind blows as it chooses. You don't get to choose it. You can't contain it. You can't try to have it sit in the back of the room and only work when you like it to work. Only have your services cookie cutter, really nice, neat, 1 hour in and out. We're good. We've got a little of God. The spirit blows where it needs to blow. Where it chooses, not where I choose, where it chooses. You can hear the sound, but you don't know where it came from or where it's going. So it is within the hearts of those who are spirit born. This is the point. What is God asking of us? It's really simple. We must let Holy Spirit bear witness to our spirit. And here's the thing. Will we have the courage to do that when Holy Spirit comes in a way we've never experienced before? When things break out like they never have before, I believe in this place they will. You know why? Because you're hungry. You're hungry. So I believe this place is the place, will be one of the places God will use for a mighty move to break through a generation.
Ventura County.
Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Dios está aquí. The Holy Spirit is here. Reach out your hands. Come, Holy Spirit. More, Lord. Tell him more, Lord. Holy Spirit, teach me how to let my spirit bear witness with you. I will not rely on my mind alone, though I've learned a lot about your word. I will not rely on my emotions alone, though I have had many feelings and encounters with you. I will not rely on my experiences you alone. While all those things are good when they're of you, Lord, I realize something today. That the only place that is safe to stay in the center of what you're doing is when my spirit engages with you, Holy Spirit. So in this moment, I ask, teach me, Holy Spirit. I will be led by my spirit to you. I will test the spirits, and I will look at the fruit. These are things I can do, I will do. Here we are, Lord. Use us. Let's sing. Let's sing.